chest.
Quickly, or I'll have the flood for it. What ship is she? What flag does she fly, Outlander? I can't hear thee!
Ryan had heard the crew say that other captains from the region took good care to steer well wide of Piraquad. One or two that didn't had been found floating belly down among the fish guts of Claggartville Harbor. So another ship coming close to them meant something out of the ordinary. He steadied the glass on the flag that fluttered from the masthead of the approaching ship, trying to make it out, fumbling with the brass focusing screw.
Fire blast, Kent. Ah, there it is.
From the earliest days, every ship out of New England had her own pennant, so that she could easily be recognized at a distance by any of her fellows. Even now, in the heart of the Deathlands, 100 years after Skydark, the practice was maintained by everyone, even by Piraquad. Her flag cracked and snapped in the wind, only a few feet from Ryan's head. It was a circle of crimson upon a rectangle of plain white. But as the wind tugged at the ensign, it distorted the circle, elongating the bottom half, so that it sometimes resembled a bloody skull.
It has a blue flag with two white horizontal stripes!
Two slant whites on blue the sest!
Aye, ma'am!
That be the Bartleby under Delano, old Pritch and Biddy herself. Does she show any signal?
No signal! But she's heading straight for us, ma'am!
Captain Quad beckoned him back from the masthead, sending up another member of the crew to replace him as lookout. Ryan sat on the deck and gratefully pulled on his sea boots again. Though he had a good enough head for heights, the rolling crow's nest wasn't the best place in the world to be. The whole of the crew came out to watch the approaching vessel. Ryan recalled again that such an encounter was very rare, particularly as most of the skippers along the New England coast knew Quad's reputation and kept plenty of sea room between themselves and the ill-starred Salvation. Slowly, tacking her way against the breeze, the Bartleby drew closer. As she did, the wind fell away to a mild zephyr, barely breathing enough air to enable the two whaling ships to maintain their forward momentum through the flattened waves. Captain Quad took her place at the port side of her ship. Ryan noticed that she had buckled on the Spanish Astra Short Muzzle 44 and wondered whether she was anticipating trouble. The ships would pass port side to port side. The crew of the Bartleby was also lined up along the rail, staring in silence at the Salvation and her crew. A short, skinny man in a bottle-green tailcoat stood alone near the stern. He had a mane of white hair that made him look like pictures of Old Testament prophets that Ryan had seen in some of the many Bibles that still survived in the Deathlands. It was an odd fact that around half of the books he'd ever seen in his life had been Bibles from before the long winters. Yet he'd never read anything to confirm that the old United States had been such a profoundly religious country. The man hailed them, using a battered tin megaphone.
Captain Quad!
Good day to thee, Captain Delano! What bringest thee to my waters?
The waters are not thine, Captain Quad, and it be blasphemous to claim them.
When the Almighty comes sailing and whaling across these banks with a brace of big fish held tight to his flanks, then I shall allow him to share of my waters, Captain.
The man controlled himself with what was an obvious effort of will. The ships were still nearly 100 paces apart, their courses meaning they'd pass within about 10 feet of each other on their parallel ways.
Speech quickly, preaching Biddy.
If I did not, I will not quarrel with thee or damn thee, Piraquad. The Savior sees all, and he will judge at the ending of thy life. I seek thine aid.
What aid, man? Wouldst thou know where the great whales sport? I slew one within the day, and he be the first of a bounteous harvest in rich lays for my lads here.
I have hunted well. Too well.
Now the ships were closer, the figureheads barely 30 yards apart.
Then what do you want?
Both my brothers are lost, Captain Quad. Dearest to my heart.
Lost? Both?
Aye.
The man was on the verge of tears, and Ryan could see the whiteness of his knuckles gripping the carved rail.
To lose one brother is unfortunate, Captain Delano. To lose both seems like foolishness.
Now, flint her! One was Tillamit, and one the harpooner in the lead whale boat. They had struck a massive right whale, one it caught thick with barnacles. We had lost the sail for the broken halyard jammed in a blast. A sudden fog came down, as it often does upon these waters.
Now the ships were fully alongside, the crew staring curiously at one another. Ryan found it odd that all these seamen came from the same ville, yet not a word was exchanged. Captain Delano was leaning out over the rail, hands reaching imploringly toward the impassive figure of Captain Quad.
And thou hast seen nothing since?
Nothing. But the whale was bearing this way. When the third...
I have seen nothing.
The two of us, together, we could quarter the sea and find my brother.
We could, but we will not. I am here to hunt the whales, not to scour the waves for dimwit orphans who know not their trade. Good day to thee, Captain Delano!
Now the sterns of the two vessels were leveled, the two skippers scant feet apart, gazing into each other's eyes.
Turn, and let us talk longer, Captain Clark. I beg thee, in the name of thy savior.
These are my waters, but he is not my savior, preaching biddy. Get to thy search.
One day? But give up one day, son. I'll pay thee for thy time.
Fare thee well.
She turned to her crew.
I can find work for any idle hand I see skylarking out here, Mr. Ugg. Set them to it.
Aye, man.
Ryan joined the others, scurrying away below decks to lend a hand at the noisome task of boiling down the chunks of blubber. He heard the last fading words of Captain Delano of the Bartleby, torn away by the wind.
May thy stone soul sink thee to hell, Piraquan, and may any man who sails with thee join thee in everlasting torment.
The next time Ryan Carter came out on deck, the other ship was a tiny black speck, hull down on the horizon. For the next 2 days, they pressed on, sailing deeper into the whaling grounds, but without a single sighting of their prey. And with each hour that passed, Piraquad became more and more ill-tempered, with a curse and blow for any man who came within her reach. Johnny Flynn muttered as he and Brian worked together on splicing a length of rope.
Oh, she's getting hungry again.
Hungry for what?
Hungry for meat, shipmates. The meat that grows from the loins of a man. The meat that grows and shrinks and rises and falls. That's the fine red meat for our captain's tastes.
The Bartleby was homeward bound. Her voyage ended prematurely by the loss of Captain Delano's two brothers. Her search across the vastness had been a fruitless one, and she was headed back to Clackardville to mourn her dead. She passed by the Phoenix, close-hauled on a starboard reach, and the captains were able to pass on their hurried news. Christy and Jack stood by Captain Deacon to make sure he resisted the temptation to reveal his plight, but he kept silent about his unwelcome quintet of passengers. The men of the Bartleby gazed with naked curiosity at the white-haired boy and the fire-haired young woman,